Let's open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. And you can put a marker over in the John, the Gospel of John. And we're going to be in Ephesians 1 here. I'm just going to read this so you can get this picture again. Y'all do know that we don't sell the messages, right? So when I tell you something like, you need to hear Wednesday night's message, you know I'm not doing it for personal gain, right? Now, I have no motive in it. There's nothing in it for Gary financially or any other way. When I tell you, you need to hear Wednesday night's message, it's because I've got you on my mind and the Lord has you on his heart. And I'm telling you, that's one you got to hear. I kept begging God all day. I mean, I'm getting fairly used to coming out here not knowing much about what's going to happen. He's been doing that with me for years now. But usually I have a glimpse. Usually I have something. Usually, I mean, and Sue can tell you, right down to the wire, I'm going, well, don't have a clue. And anymore, I mean, I wish I'd get to where I just quit worrying about it. Because I see what he's doing. If he let me know ahead of time, I'd probably mess it up. Golly, Wednesday night, I listened to it again this morning. I'm surprised what's on there, and I taught it. You're going to have to hear that one. It's called Glimpses of Light. Glimpses of Light. Now, just recommend it to you, but I'm not going to even try and teach that one again. Couldn't do it if I tried. I didn't teach it the first time. You don't know the truth of it. But since then, since I've been chewing on that one since Wednesday night, now here's the next phrase. Here's the next one that I'm hearing. You don't need to turn to these. You can if you want to. We're going to be in Revelations. Ooh. Now you know I hardly ever teach out of Revelations. Gary, why don't you? He hadn't shown me very much out of it. I can read the verses with you. So yeah, that's what it says. And you go, what does it mean? Well, I can tell you what it says. But until he shares more with me, you know. But now this one I kept hearing out of the book of Revelations. I just kept hearing that phrase. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I kept hearing that. In the light, though, of Wednesday night's message, in which I'm not going to try and reteach. So I just looked it up. It occurs four times in the book of Revelations. You can look these up later if you want. I'm just going to read the verses. Then we're going to expound on what he's showing us for our journey through Ephesians. So the first time is in Revelations chapter 1, verse 8. And the Lord says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. We could bring the worship team back up and just have church right now. You know, is not that something? I got to read it again. Yes, I do love the word. Anyway, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Whew, glory to God. Second time is still in that same chapter, verse 11. He says, I am Alpha and Omega. This time he says, the first and the last. Okay, and then he gives instruction about writing what he saw. Okay, so this time, so he said in that second verse, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. It occurs again in Revelations 21, verse 6. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And then the last time is in Revelations 22, 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He said both statements in that last verse. The way he said it before, he combined them. I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now, if he was saying that same thing in English today, he would say, I am A and I am Z. I encompass it all. There is no, well, what comes before A? What comes before the beginning? So Dave always says, you know, if you could go back to the beginning and then 5 millennia before the beginning, you'd find out he'd already been there forever. I am the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. And I was thinking of it in the light of Wednesday night's message. Now, let's see what he looks like here. And I don't mean in Revelations this time. Go to Ephesians 1. Let's look at him. We're going to read it in the section of that first prayer, starting in verse 15. It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Can you see him? I could go to Revelations right now with his hair white as wool and his voice had the sound of many waters and his skin shone like the bronze. And you know who that is? That's Jesus. He is your Adam. He is your beginning as a new creature. See, when he says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end," I got to thinking about the very beginning. We could go back to Genesis 1, which we're not right now. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you can read right down, all the way down through there, till you come to the point where it says, "The Lord took the dust of the ground and he fashioned a body out of it." But then what happened? Then he breathed the breath of life. Remember that? He breathed life into the nostrils of Adam. And then one time the Lord showed me in a vision that of the three members of the Godhead, it was the second member, it was Jesus, who held that body of Adam, if you'll allow me, in his arms, that lifeless body. And it was the second member of the Godhead. He breathed that life, could we say, nature. He breathed the original breath. That's why it says that twice in Genesis, first two chapters there, "In the likeness of God created he him." And then it says, real close, "In the likeness of God created he them." You got that? He called them Adam, by the way. Got that? Who is? Jesus is the express image of God. And it was he that breathed that likeness of God into the breath. He was the beginning. I'm going to say it this way. He is the Alpha. Yes, sir. Did you find John? He is the Alpha of Adam's existence as far as life goes. Well, as far as anything goes, even his body. Jesus is the Alpha. He is the A. He is the beginning. He's the one that created that body. He is the one that breathed the breath of life into Adam to begin with. See, this is why Adam's sin was so heinous to us. But now I'm not talking about the old us. To humans, let's say it that way. Normal humans. Sin isn't that big a deal. But why? Because it comes naturally. Romans 6 will tell you, you were born. You were born a slave to sin. Sin comes naturally to fallen humans. But he wasn't created fallen. He had no sin nature. He chose knowing. See, Eve was deceived, and that's why it says sin isn't laid to her account. She was deceived, but Adam was not. He knowingly chose to reject God's word and choose the devil's words instead. And that's scary business. But just so you'll see here that it's Jesus. He is the Alpha. He is the A. He is the beginning of Adam's existence. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now, just so you'll know for sure, absolutely for sure, it's talking about Jesus. Jump down to 14 and we'll come back. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Only one of the three members of the Godhead I know of was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that's the second member, the Lord Jesus. Amen? So, all right. So we could say in the beginning was Jesus. The Jesus was with God. And the Jesus was God. Fair enough? I'll just leave it the way it is, but I like this even better. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And in the Greek, there's a pigtail on there. It says, no, not one single thing. So when He says, I am Alpha, I am the beginning. Honey, He's the beginning of our whole creation. Nothing was made without Him. I've understood that for a long time. But what I'm only coming into recently now, at least more full understanding of it, when He says, I am Omega, or in our language, you'd say, I am the Z, I am the end. See, that whole species of Adam that He started, that whole species down through the generations, including those born today. So you got to remember, this is Wednesday night again. God lives outside of time. We have a hard time sometimes understanding God's mind because it's hard for us to think any way but linear. Time sequential. Snippet from Wednesday night. The devil ever beat you up for a sin you committed today or yesterday? Don't see nobody's raising their hands because nobody in here sins. We know that. Nobody loses their temper. Nobody lies. Nobody nothing. And then, okay, but he does me. He beats me up. I got one honest man in the back. Well, yeah, he'll beat you up for that. You know, the devil's a switch hitter. First, he entices you to sin, then he condemns you for doing it. But see, the truth of the matter is, when you really go with the Word, see, God lives outside of time. Because the devil's beating me up for a sin I committed today, and the logic would be something, when I, Gary, you got saved almost 30 years ago. So yeah, you were forgiven up till that, you know, when you received Jesus and were born again. Yeah, you got washed by the blood. All that was, but what about those sins since then? But if you read the Bible, which we could go back to Ephesians, I did this Wednesday night. You know, it says in chapter 2, it says, we were quickened together with Him, raised up together with Him. Well, Jim Martin, several years ago, Jim Martin's a doctor, it's actually Dr. Jim Martin, and he pastors a church in Dayton, Ohio, and has a Bible college. Run free, by the way. Takes a little faith. Free of charge. He called me several years ago. He was doing a study of all the Greek words and that. He says, Gary, did you know what that really says in the Greek language? It says, when Christ came out of the tomb, in God's reality, from where He sits, He saw us come out of the tomb with Him at the same time. When Christ came out, I came out with Him, and I'm going, I wasn't born yet. You mean Jesus had already paid the price for my sin, and in the mind of God, quickened? I was quickened to be a new creature 2,000 years before I was born? I think that took care of this morning too. But we see glimpses of light. That's what Wednesday night is all about. Starting, trying to get past our linear, mortal mindset. We're supposed to think like Him. And the amazing thing is, no wonder it says in Ephesians here, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's a part of you now that can understand things that you never could as that old creature. There's a part of you that has eternity in it now. I'm going to tell you one more thing. See, when God prophesies, He's not like the rest of us and hoping it's true. Oh, I hope that comes to pass. Oh, I hope that comes to pass. He's not guessing. He lives outside of time. You know, even Einstein's equations came to the point where he saw that time is a circle. Even he figured that out. So if you'll picture with me, okay, we got a circle right down here. It's like a little, all of eternity, all of time, unless not eternity, no, all of time, all of created time is like a railroad track in a circle. God lives outside that circle. We live in it. God lives outside the circle. So he's going to prophesy. He's not guessing. He goes over there and looks. Said, okay, this is what's going to happen. He's not guessing. He's just as much 1,000 years from today as he is today. That's just as real to him as 5 minutes ago was to you. Okay. So when it says here, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Well, we can understand that about him being the Alpha, can't we? But now let's talk about the Omega. I want to talk about the Z. I want to talk about the end of Adam. Because, the reason I got on that little tirade there, when he died on the cross, he didn't just die for the original Adam. He died for the whole species of Adam, including those of us who were born 2,000 years later. In the same way he was the beginning of Adam. See, and again, I'm going to walk down here. Most of you were here that night when I did that. I had Bernard come up and represent Christ. I had this young lady come up and represent the Jews. I had Mike come up and Fred and represent the Gentiles. But see, the whole human race, when Christ died on that cross, he died as the whole species of Adam. Amen. He was the beginning of Adam, and he was the end of Adam. Amen. In him, that whole species came to an end. See? In God's, you know why? That's why I keep saying in the New Testament, in Christ, in whom, in him. See, there's only really two kinds of humans. You're either in Adam, or you're in Christ. Think about this. Adam, before even Eve was made, the DNA that was in Adam at that moment, every human who has ever lived and ever will live, every human, all of them, were in him. In his DNA, in his reproductive powers, every human that has ever been and ever will be was in Adam. Amen? Well, this is going to, we have to lose linear thinking for a minute. Every believer, whoever is or ever will be from God's point of view right now, is in Christ. Amen. His spiritual DNA, can I say it that way? Which is really the new nature. That's what's going to course through. Yes, sir. Every believer. So he was the Alpha of Adam's species. He was the Omega, the end, the Z of Adam's species. As far as God's concerned, they're all dead men walking. Even the ones that haven't been born yet. But see, then he became the A, the Alpha, the beginning of a new species. He is called the firstborn from the dead. Now in this case, in this new species of human, he isn't producing physical people like Adam did. What they're doing is they're going around from all these, if you'll allow me the vision again, when I saw Jesus on the cross, and when he gave up the ghost and he said, into thy hands I commit my spirit, and he died. When he died on that cross, in that vision, I saw the whole human race fall dead on the earth. And from God's point of view, that's exactly what they are. Dead. Judged. It's over. That species has come to an end. It's over. But then God wants to start a new species with a new man. So he picks his son, and he is the firstborn from the dead. Now that cannot mean just like most preachers will tell you. They say, well, that's a physical death. It's just physical death. Honey, Lazarus had already been raised from physical death. People in the Old Testament were raised from physical death. He can't be the firstborn from the physically dead. No, he became the serpent. He was just like in Pharaoh's court. He became sin who knew no sin. Swallowed up all of Adam's sin into himself, and he paid the price. And to do it, he had to take that nature to the grave with him. Pay the price. But he is the first. God's looking at the whole human race. Now, they're looking at the earth at that moment while Christ is still under the ground, paying, still in hell. From God's point of view, the whole human race, including Jesus, is dead. He said, I'm going to start a new species. I'm going to start with my son. You can read it in Hebrews where it says, again, he saith, today thou art my son. He spoke the words that caused the Holy Spirit to regenerate that spirit from death to life. And that's why Jesus is called the firstborn from the dead. But this new species, that's what God's doing. He's not generating humans in the flesh. He's going to all these dead humans that are all dead in Adam. And he's preaching the gospel to them. And if you can believe it, you can be quickened. But I see in God's mind, so we think of that linear. Okay, so there was a second born and a third born. I heard Kenneth Copeland preach that 25 years ago, and it's true. Second born, third born, fourth born, fifth born, your number's in there somewhere. You know, in God's mind, my number was in there the first day. Amen. It's not sequential to him. Amen. To him, it's like we all came out of that tomb with Jesus. So why are we not empowered for God? Amen. He's trying to get us to understand who we are, where we're from, why we're here. And if you want to see who you're supposed to be like, I have a series of books for you. It's called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, really, five. And the book of Acts. No wonder, he said. See, we keep trying to think he's trying to anoint Adam. Adam is dead. We keep thinking, we keep identifying with who we were. I'm just no sinner saved by grace. Well, you need to get saved for sure then. Because if you're still an old sinner, you're in the wrong species. No, you're a new creature in Christ. Now, you may still have trouble with the flesh. There may still be some wars being won there. But your nature now, honey, is righteousness. You know, speaking of the whole human race, you know, before you get saved, everybody has that born of that sin nature. But every now and then people do good things, don't they? So you're a sinner who occasionally did righteousness. But your nature was what? Sin. But you know you could do some righteous things once in a while. Give some money away. Help somebody. Do you know the truth of the matter is now? You're a righteous person who occasionally sins. Some say, well, that occasionally for me is quite a bit. but that's really the truth of it. You're a righteous person. If you're born again, you've got righteousness in your nature. Your flesh still needs to be reined in. It's called dominion. It's called the new man ruling over the old man. Again, Tim taught this morning on truth. See, what did Jesus say? You shall know the what? It's the truth that sets you free. So first, it's grace. Grace, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Well, boy, you got to get the grace first. Grace. I mean, honey, we're all dead. What can a dead man do to bargain with God? You said, let me go into heaven. I can't even hear you. You're dead. Yeah, I'm going to do some good works. What good works? You're dead. See, there's nothing you can do. It's complete. See, what do you have? What do you offer? Why should I bring you to heaven? And you hold up the blood. Now you've got to pass into heaven. See? That's what God did through mercy and mercy alone. It's called grace. We sure were old sinners, absolutely hopeless, absolutely helpless, without God and without hope in the world. Thank God for His grace. You get saved. You can be genuinely born again and sit in a church for 50 years and never hear enough truth to get free of sin. I say it another way too. You can get born again, truly born again on your way, and you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. You want to hear me? Shandalai, shandalai, you know, yes. And still remain powerless. Without that renewing of the Spirit. Yes, sir, and I'm going to say it that way. Renewing of the Spirit of your mind. Our minds cannot stay like they are, people. And it's going to take, what did he say? I'm going to say it the way he did Wednesday night. I can't improve on that. See, Sue and I were both 30. We're close to, you know, together in age. 6 months or so apart. 5 months. I know her birthday. It's May 26th. Don't try and get me in trouble. But we were both 33. We were 33 years old. We got born again. So for 33 years... What's my mind? And I'm a university graduate. Now, this will scare y'all, but I graduated as an industrial engineer from Oklahoma State University. What year, Brother Gary? Hang on. 1969. We were still using slide rules. In my life, I had never yet seen a handheld calculator. First time I saw one, it was about as big as a laptop today. And all it did was add, subtract, multiply, and divide, and do square roots. That's all. It cost $650. First one I ever saw. That'll take you back a ways. 33 years. University graduate. Mm-hmm. Trained by my mind was educated and trained in a fallen world. And all of it filtered through a death nature. And we think we're free. Then you get saved, and you're not starting out from on the ground floor. Man, we're all starting way down in the basement. By age 33, you think you have a handle on who you are. You know? Well, boy, that guy was a mess. So here comes the new nature and the Holy Ghost working together. Thank God I got the Holy Ghost right after I got saved. Thank God for that. I didn't know much. I didn't know what we know now about praying in other tongues, but the guy that led me to the Lord had a prison ministry and I wanted to go with him. And one of his requirements was, well, if you want to go to the prisons with me on Thursday, you got to come and pray with me 2 hours on Tuesday. And he meant pray in other tongues. At first I thought, sure, no problem. I'll come pray 2 hours. Sure. Got over there, started praying. Well, surely about 2 hours has gone by. 5 minutes. Oh, had my first taste of that way back then, see. But even then, the Lord began cleaning up my act. I mean, boy, just real quickly, a lot of stuff left my life. But I didn't pray enough in those tongues, and I didn't know anything about meditating the Word in whole passages and the things that we've learned through Dave. See, I just thank God for Pastor Dave, and I just got to tell you, I thank God for what we've learned here. I thank God for the message. But see, now we're contending for something that really the world has not seen. Now, the world has seen what I call gifts revivals. And I thank God for those. I thank God for them. It's about the only way he could get revival in the earth. And so people would believe him for the gifts, and sure enough, he'd manifest the gifts. And it didn't matter if they had handles on their nature that the enemy could come. You know, sometimes it's girls, sometimes it's money, sometimes it's fortune, sometimes it's fame, sometimes it's other things. And so the revivals would happen, all right, but very often they were pretty short-lived, you know, because of that. But now this time, what we're contending for is something that hasn't really been seen, I don't think, since the first century, the book of Acts. Peter never got corrupted. He never fell for any money things. He never ran off with a younger girl. He never got corrupted. Neither did any of the 12. Jesus is after, and the Father is after revival in this day. With men and women like that. That had been purged by the Spirit of God. Where, you remember when Jesus said the enemy, the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me? Do you know that's why he's got you in this little slopety floored church out in the middle of a grass field? Trying to get you to do this message where he can just one by one remove all of the handles off of your nature. He wants you where you can't be bought, can't be threatened, can't be seduced, can't be blown by every wind of doctrine. Where fame doesn't mean anything to you and glory doesn't mean anything to you. And the only thing that matters is your Father's will is done upon the earth in the name of Jesus. Now that's what he's after. Right? I thank God for that. Well, let's get back to the Alpha and the Omega. Can you see it that Jesus absolutely was the Alpha for the whole species of Adam? And on the cross, he was the Omega. He was the end. The whole species of Adam ended. It was the end of the world for that species as far as heaven's concerned. So now God has started a new species. Jesus is called the second man, the last Adam. He is spawning a whole new species. Now where do their bodies come from? The bodies are from that same species that died. All those dead people on the planet, even if you were not born yet. I was born 2,000 years later, see? But still, my body is from that original Adam. But what he's doing, he is coming to those dead people and really preaching the gospel. And for those who will hear it and believe it, we get quickened together to new life just like Jesus was quickened to new life. But we think of it being 2,000 years later, but as far as God's concerned, it happened then. See, just because he knows everything doesn't mean he makes that decision for you. People get all mixed up on predestination because they think linear. Did he predestinate Adam to choose to bite that apple or whatever it was? He knew it though, because Christ was crucified in God's mind before the foundation of the world. Well, that tells you right there, he knew. But who made the decision? So when it says predestinate, it means predetermined. Just because he knows everything doesn't mean he's choosing all of that. Honey, you choose. Tim brought out a good point at the 8:30 service. You know where it says put off that old man? God gave you that new man free by grace. But you notice it doesn't say a thing about now. You just sit there while God takes that old nature off and that old man off, and he's going to put that new man on, and you don't have to do anything. You just sit there. Is that what it sounds like to you in Ephesians? What does it say? You put him off. And it's your responsibility. God's not going to do your meditation of the word for you. He's not going to do your confession of the word for you. He's not going to choose whether to go to church or not for you. You pray. Now I'll help you. I'll create the language for you. But you've got to make that decision to let him do it. He won't force you. Well, sometimes in his mercy, when I'm asleep, I've caught Sue doing it too. Sometimes, you know, our mind lets the guards down. And he says, I got a chance. And he'll start praying for us in our sleep. We've each woken the other one up praying in other tongues before. I remember that time in the hospital back in 94 when I was about one step away from going off into eternity. I'd had that heart problem and fell out of the truck. Most of you have heard that story. But anyway, I was in a hospital and it was touch and go whether I was going to make it or not for a day or two there. So Sue came to little Ozark, Arkansas, a little hospital in Ozark, Arkansas, a little bitty place. They had to wait. You know, the MRI came on Thursday. It's that kind of hospital, okay? And bless their hearts, though, they did what they could for me. But I would drift off. I would just come to consciousness, and I was gone. I was gone about as much as I was, more than I was awake. And when I'd drift off, Sue stayed in the room. Aaron came down, stayed in the room during that time. And when I, every time I drift off into unconsciousness, my spirit would start praying loud in other tongues. So here I am unconscious. The nurses at first came running down to the, he's delirious. Is he okay? And finally, Sue or Aaron one says, it's okay, it's okay. He prays like that. He does this. We've heard him do it before. He's okay. Leave him alone. Well, what was really going on there? I have no doubt the Holy Ghost, every time my brain would, the guards would come down, he's making intercession for my life. Yeah. See, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. See. So now, in our creation, now we're talking about a new species. We're talking about you now. If you're in the sound of my voice, most likely you've already been born again. You've got the Spirit of God in you. You're either in this room or listening to me by the internet or some other way. You're most likely a believer. If you're not, you can be a believer in the next just a little bit. But most likely you are. So what's he doing now? Well, he's trying to get us to understand who we are, where we're from, why we're here, in relation to the species that we really are. See, now I'm 62, and you would think by age 62, you surely ought to have a handle on who you are. I'm probably about 7 or 8 in the Lord's eyes. I don't know. I don't even know if I've reached my bar mitzvah yet. Oh, wait a minute. We don't have bar mitzvahs. You know, where you graduate to become a man, you know. I don't know. But he is line upon line, precept upon precept, trying to get us to understand who we are. But he is the Alpha. There was no species like this ever before. That's why in Hebrews it tells you, all right, you can learn something from these witnesses. You know, chapter 11, it gives us the hall of faith. It goes back to, you know, Noah and Abraham and King David and on and on and on. And women too. It talks about, you know, Sarah and Hagar, I think. On and on. And many others, it says, Samson. On and on. And he says, well, you can learn a lot of things, but when it finally comes down to who do we look at? We can learn stuff from them, but we have to look unto Jesus, the author. Can I say the Alpha? Can I say the beginning of our faith? You know what other pattern to look at. We can learn some things from Abraham, but he was not a new creature anointed with the Holy Ghost. He was not born of the Spirit of God till, well, he is now, because Jesus went to preach it to him. After Jesus was quickened to new life, the first place he went, as I understand it, was Abraham's bosom, that place where all of the Old Testament saints went. They couldn't go to heaven yet. Why? Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Amen. You don't get to the Father without having that nature of the Father. It's by one Spirit we all have access unto the Father. What Spirit is that? It's the nature of Christ. It's good stuff, see? Looking unto Jesus, the author, the Alpha, the A. I like types and shadows from the Old Testament. I learn a lot of things from the Old Testament. But, and I'm not trying to be harsh, and people are probably going to get upset with me. Send all your letters to Dave. No. No, you can send them to me. I got a big trash can. But see, that's really, I mean, I love the Jewish people. I love Abraham. I love everything about it. I can learn things from the festivals and all of that. But see, when they start saying, well, don't you really want to go back and study your Jewish roots? Honey, I'll tell you the truth. I don't have any Jewish roots. I am part of a species that began with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I have really no history prior to that. I have no history prior to that. That's why the Bible says in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile. Out of those two types of humans, he has made one new man. It's a new species. You're not even male or female anymore. You're not bond or slave, Jew or Gentile. You're a believer. You're of the species of Christ. Well, how should I then live? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Book of Acts. Walk as he walked. Talk as he talked. Have the same results he had. Blasphemy. Blasphemy. No, it's not. He himself said, those that believe on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do. Because he's gone to be with the Father. Yes, sir. Now see what he's trying to get me to see right now. I'm trying to get this, and I don't know if I can say it real well this time. I'll do better next time. See, the first Adam had dominion on the earth. And boy, he had it too. And the thing of it is, heaven backed up that dominion, did it not? I mean, he says, whatever, you know, let them have dominion. Well, who's he talking to there? That's the Holy Ghost. Everything else he said, let there be light, let there be this, let there be that. Well, who was hearing that? That's the Holy Ghost. There wasn't no people to hear it. The Holy Ghost was hearing those commands. That he's the molecule changer. He's the mover. It says the Spirit was moving on the face of the deep when the earth was dark and without form. So God said, God said, God said, and everything God said, the Holy Spirit did. So when he says, let them, speaking of Adam and Eve, let them have dominion, who's he talking to? The Holy Ghost. See, and that's what Adam, his first sin in my mind was silence. When he stood there and heard that discussion going on between the serpent and his wife, why in the world he didn't speak up? In the authority that I've been given on this planet, I command you, leave the garden. And it would have left. The Holy Ghost would have thrown. It wouldn't have had a choice. Holy Ghost would have brought dominion. But see, when Adam lost that dominion, he never got it back. It's just exactly what God said happened. He had to die. Well, spiritual death came first. Physical death followed. And eventually the whole species died in Christ. The first Adam never got back his dominion. Exactly what God prophesied. Again, God's not guessing. Exactly what he said would happen. He never got it back. Thank God you're not of that species anymore. See, let's talk about our Adam. Now, that first one had dominion on the earth. Ours, he says, all authority, they could say all dominion, has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. And we see this picture that we started with. The reason I had you read that. Where is he seated now? See, the first Adam, he stayed on the earth. He had dominion here. Our Adam is on the earth. But he's only on the earth through you. He has been exalted to a position that the first Adam never had. He is physically, not position. Now we're positionally seated with him in that same place of authority. He is physically glorified bodily. Able to eat fishy and walk through Wally. You know, we're not there yet. My engineering mind has trouble with that. He just ate a fish. I don't have trouble with him walking through the wall, but what happened to the fish? He hasn't had time to digest it yet. I mean, how he can walk through that wall and the fish not slide down the wall, I don't understand how that happens. But at this point, I don't need to know. I guess the fish gets glorified too when he eats it. I don't know. Our Adam, the last Adam, the progenitor of our faith. Whew. Man, I see him seated there. And no wonder it goes into such detail. Far above all power, all might, all dominion. If that wasn't enough, every name that is named, if that's not enough, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, if that's not enough, and hath put all things under his feet. Why is the Bible, why is Paul so explicit about that? So we, as new creatures, can have absolute faith that there is nothing the devil can do that our Adam doesn't have dominion over. How does he have that dominion, though? Does he speak it from heaven? Or does he come and do it through his body? You already know the answer. To have dominion on this planet for the rest of this dispensation, you have to have a body from Adam. You have to have a body from Adam until this dispensation is done, till there's a new heaven and a new earth. Well, that's why he had to leave us. See, it's not just being mean to us and making us deal with these old bodies. I finally got it. He really had no choice. In order to exercise dominion on the earth, you have to have a body from the first man, Adam. See, spiritually, all Adam died in Christ. Have you noticed physically you're still moving around? Until that ends, until that dispensation ends, you got to have a body from Adam to exercise dominion here. That's why, spiritually, that's why the Ephesians starts off and says, he has blessed us with all. See, in the realm of the spirit has dominion over the realm of the material. That's obviously true because everything material was created from that realm of the Spirit. The Creator, by definition, is more real than the Createe. So we have dominion with all spiritual blessings from the realm of the Spirit. But what he's trying to do is get us to exercise that dominion while still wearing mortal bodies. That's why it says that the life of Christ, the life of Jesus, be made manifest in our mortal bodies. Jesus himself would not have had dominion in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John if he did not have a body that came from Adam. That's why he didn't do any miracles after he was glorified. Check and see. Didn't do any. Not after he was raised from the dead. Not on earth. Now he did them through his people after that. Why? You got to have a body from Adam. More on that in the future. Y'all liking this? The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, see? Now what we've got to get for today's lesson, I'm going to sum this up. You got to get it firm in your mind. You are not part of that old dead species of Adam anymore. That species in God's mind is dead, has come to an end. It's already been judged. If you put it this way, the law has had full execution. Every penalty, Jesus took it all. The law that was given to mortal man, the Adamic man, the Jewish man, however you want to phrase it, the law that was given, the full penalty of death has now been served, done, finished. Adam, the whole species, past, present, future, all in Christ. He was the Omega, the Z, the end for the species of Adam. Get it in your head. You're not of that species anymore. Quit letting preachers tell you you are. Quit letting the devil tell you you are. Well, you know who you are. I don't think we hardly have a clue who we are. Amen. Paul is trying to give us a clue in Ephesians. You were quickened together with him, raised up together with him, seated together with him in heavenly places. We're going, I'm having trouble balancing my checkbook. I'm having trouble not losing my temper with so-and-so. I got laid off this week. I don't feel like I have dominion. Well, you got it anyway. Oh, amen. No wonder he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Boy, our minds, and the wonderful thing is, our minds now have a capacity it never had before. See, we were limited to carnal thinking and linear thinking and time-bound thinking before, really. Man, there is a, you know when Dave teaches, if you just take the, they used to have a cover on one of his tape series that showed a human head, and inside of that was a glowing mind. Do y'all remember that? It glowed like gold. See, that's the spiritual mind. It's in that very place. You have a mind within your mind. You have to go all the way back. We can't relay all these foundational teachings, but we could go all the way back to the rich man and Lazarus. How even in hell, he said, as he lifted up his what? His eyes, so that we know the spirit man has eyes. I want Lazarus to touch the tip of his finger. Wait a minute, Lazarus is dead too, so we know now that the spirit man has at least eyes and tips of fingers. And then he says, and come and touch my tongue with some water. We know. So, well, if your spirit man has eyes and tips of fingers and a tongue, he's going to have all the rest of the parts too. There's a spiritual mind within your mind. Now, when it was fallen, when you were in Adam, it was limited to linear, time-constricted thinking. But honey, the spirit that's in your mind now is born of God. It's eternal. That part of you has done all the dying it's ever going to do. That one has a capacity to think like God. Wednesday night, we talked about just the simplest things. And these are just glimpses of light. I really recommend you get Wednesday night. You know, here's what I'm thinking about Mark over here. Here's Mark, and he's praying and praying and praying. Mark and Debbie together. They're praying and praying to pray. And they get an instruction at 12 noon on Monday. And the Lord says, I want you to preach in Moscow. Yes, Lord. By 2 o'clock. What day, Lord? Today. Now, how are you going to do that? We start thinking rockets, spaceship. How in the world can you get to Moscow in a couple of hours? And he says, "You ever read my book? You ever hear about Trinity Airlines? Remember Philip, who was preaching to the eunuch? Got him born again, got him baptized, and God says, I need you in Azotus." He says, "When do you need me there?" And I'm ad-libbing just a little. Allow me. Now. Let me see if I can hail a camel taxi. That's the way we think, right? But God says, no, just grab your hat. I'm going to have you there in about 2 seconds. Whew. Now see, this is the kind of thinking that God's bringing us into. Time doesn't mean anything with God. Distance doesn't mean anything with God. The limitations that were imposed on us from the Adamic realm. Honey, we belong to a whole new kingdom. We belong to a whole new realm. The physics of that realm are vastly different. In this kingdom, you can walk on water if you need to. How are we going to get over there? Better start chopping down trees, build a boat? No, just start walking. Shandai. Now, let me just ask you right now, and I'm not coming against any universities or any schools, the best Bible schools. I don't know anywhere on planet Earth right now where we can go, and for benefit of those of you that are hearing my voice and can't see what I'm doing, I've come again to the prayer box that's located right in front of the pulpit. And on this prayer box, we have faces. These are hopeless cases, according to the world. People with cerebral palsy, people that were born deformed in their brain, just all kinds of things that medical science has absolutely no hope for at all. The kind of revival that we're contending for. See, and well, let's say it this way. I don't know anywhere on earth where you could take any one of these. Of course, I'm real familiar with Tommy Perez. He must be on the side. Anyway, or Victoria. I'm real familiar with Victoria. And I think Brianna is another one. Anyway, I don't know of a church anywhere where we could take them. Now, I know that it could happen by the gifts. We all know it could happen. Could happen here by the gifts. But I'm talking about the Matthew 15 kind of meeting where they brought the multitudes to Jesus. All manner of sickness, all manner of diseases, everything you can think of. And they cast them down at his feet, and it just says, and he healed them. I don't know any place that's operating like that, do you? On a consistent basis? Man, I'd pay the way personally to get Tommy there, get Victoria there. What God's trying to do, what we're contending for, is an honor that our generation has the privilege of contending for that kind of truth and allowing the Holy Spirit to purge us of handles, to handle that kind of power on a consistent basis where they all get what they come for 100% of the time. Well, it's sure not going to happen unless we fully understand who we are, where we're from, and why we're here. Now, no wonder he says, I want to finish it up the way we started with that prayer in Ephesians. No wonder Paul prays this for us. This is what we're contending for. That the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. I hope after all that, this prayer means more to you now. This is what we're contending for. Well, back up on. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened. So that we can know what is the hope of his calling. See, we're starting to get glimpses of it. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. And it's according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, here's the part for us. And hath put all things under his feet. Hello, feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church. That's us. Which is his body. It's because you have that old body. Because you have it. The one from Adam with new life in it. But because you have it, now we are his body. He can use that. His will be done through our body. That the life of Jesus be made manifest in our mortal body. And that is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Glory to God, people. Say it with me. Jesus, you are my Alpha. You are the beginning. My history begins with you. My life begins with you. I have new life from you. The life of the Father courses through my veins. And I am a new creature. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, so what's our assignment, prayer center, and those of you that are listening around the world, what's our part? Well, it's like Tim said this morning. God's not going to do the renewing of our mind for us. God's not going to make the decision that we're going to sit and pray, meditate the word. That renewing of the mind in order to put off the old man and start putting on this one. Can you tell this one's a lot different than what we learned in church? Again, if you want to see this one, the one we're putting on, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts. Well, what's our part? Prayer, fasting, meditating the word. And I'm going to go one further, and I'm finishing really. Not running from the impasses anymore. Stop, turn around, draw the sword, and put that thing to death. And he's talking to me as much as he is to you. Different things with different people. Put it to death. Time to deal with that stuff. That his life be made manifest through us.